Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Let's bow our heads and hearts before him. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for this Sabbath day, a day we have to rest from our normal labors, even to rest from our normal recreations, that we might have a taste of what we will have with you for all eternity. The scriptures tell us to taste and see that you are good, and that's what we have presented to us today, to be in your presence with this company, this portion of the family of God, as we assemble around our Father's throne. May the Spirit of God, who has made his home within us, fill us and equip us so that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, and so that the consequence would be, first of all, that Jesus Christ, our Savior, would be glorified, for he is worthy. And then secondly, that we would be built up in our faith, that we might be more like him than we've ever been before, and that this would abound to his glory. These things we ask of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, which hopefully you remember is one of the two givings of the Ten Commandments. But we're picking up after the conclusion of the Ten.
I've confused the two. Deuteronomy 5, I got that right, verse 22 through 28.
I was looking at 18 through 24 from Hebrews 12, and boy, I was getting confused. So, we pick up after the Ten Commandments, the giving of the second giving of the law, hence the name Deuteronomy, all right? But let's pick up with verses 22 through 28 as we hear God's inerrant word. These words Yahweh spoke to all your assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness, with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. So it was, when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, Surely Yahweh our God has shown us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of Yahweh our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You go near and hear all that Yahweh our God may say, and tell us all that Yahweh our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. Then Yahweh heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and Yahweh said to me, I've heard the voice of the words of this people which they've spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word of God to the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 7. Page 923 in the Psalter Hymnal. Obviously, the confession teaches a lot more than what it does in just this chapter. But we will confess this portion of what God has revealed to us in his word as summarized in our confession. The distance between God and the creature is so great that although reasonable creatures do owe obedience unto him as their creator, yet they could never have any fruition of him as their blessedness and reward, but by some voluntary condescension on God's part, which he hath been pleased to express by way of covenant. The first covenant made with man was a covenant of works, wherein life was promised to Adam and in him to his posterity upon condition of perfect and personal obedience. Man, by his fall, having made himself incapable of life by that covenant, the Lord was pleased to make a second, commonly called the covenant of grace, wherein he freely offereth unto sinners life and salvation by Jesus Christ, requiring of them faith in him that they may be saved, and promising to give to or ordained unto eternal life his Holy Spirit to make them willing and able to believe. This covenant of grace is frequently set forth in Scripture by the name of a testament, in reference to the death of Jesus Christ the testator, and to the everlasting inheritance with all things belonging to it therein bequeathed. This covenant was differently administered in the time of the law and in the time of the gospel. Under the law, it was administered by promises, prophecies, sacrifices, circumcision, the paschal lamb, and other types and ordinances delivered to the people of the Jews, all for signifying Christ to come, which were, for that time, sufficient and efficacious through the operation of the Spirit to instruct and build up the elect in faith in the promised Messiah, by whom they had full remission of sins and eternal salvation, and is called the Old Testament. Under the gospel, when Christ the substance was existed, the ordinances in which this covenant is dispensed are the preaching of the word, the administration of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, which though fewer in number and administered with more simplicity and less outward glory, yet in them is held forth in more fullness, evidence, and spiritual efficacy to all nations, both Jews and Gentiles, and is called the New Testament. There are not, therefore, two covenants of grace differing in substance, but one and the same under various dispensations. I want to really stress that last sentence to you, that the old covenant, and we're going to be looking at that this morning, so that's why I'm stressing it, that's why we're reading this, is part of the covenant of grace. It presents to us Christ, but it presents to us Christ by promises, prophecies, and so forth, whereas in the new covenant, Christ himself has come. He's the substance, as the confession says, or the reality that all the shadows of the old covenant were foresignifying. Therefore, we are better off than those of the old covenant, but we're both, old covenant and new, in this sense of the term, are all under the new covenant, that is the covenant of grace. It's important to understand that. And when it says different, just under various dispensations, it's also important to remember that there were dispensations before the law, different administrations of the same covenant of grace. Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 18, let's hear God's inerrant word. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire, and to blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go together before him in prayer. Our Father and our God, again we give you thanks for this Sabbath day and the opportunity we have to assemble before you, to hear you speak to us. You have spoken to us in a number of ways already this morning. You have greeted us. You have called us. Twice now you have spoken to us in the reading of your word. Speak to us also as we look to the exposition and application of your word. Help us to hear you. May the Spirit of God who indwells us make clear to us how precious these words of yours are, how precious at least they should be to us. And finally, Father, in praying for our nation, yes, we do pray that you would hinder evil intents of those in our legislatures, local, state, national, though evil intents among the executives and the judiciaries. But above all, Father, to pray for our land, we need to pray for the church, not just the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, not just the Reformed churches, but the true Church of Christ in this nation, that we would be far less worldly than we have been. And that can only be accomplished when you grant to us revival. And revival is nothing more than our being humbled before you and being used by you to spread the good news. The best thing you could do for America is to break up the hardness of the church's heart. My heart, our hearts. That we might be fit vessels, fit tools for you to use to bring the good news to this land. And we pray this of you in Christ's name. Amen. Yes, I know we're going through Ecclesiastes, and as I was working on it this week, I noticed that, we have three more weeks after this week, which should remind you that you should start reading Psalm 1, 2, 3, because we start the Psalter when that happens. Been looking forward to that for a long time. Hope I live long enough to get through it. Let's see, 150 psalms. And oh yeah, 119 won't be done in a day. So yeah, we've got a lot coming up. But the more I worked on both Hebrews and Ecclesiastes, the more Hebrews, it seemed to me, was something that had to be dealt with here in the morning service instead of the afternoon. Wasn't what I was intending as the week went on. Janet wasn't too happy because I gave her everything she needed. She picked the hymns for Ecclesiastes, and then I said, nah, we're going to switch them. So she had to do that all over again. We have two sections here, verses 18 through 21, and then 22 through 24. The title was around here somewhere. Have and have not. It has to do with a particular word that is found in the first line of verse 18 and the first line of verse 22. In Hebrew or in Greek, it's one word, but in English, it is have come. The not is actually before it or after it. I don't remember now. I don't have the Greek Testament in front of me. But have come is one word, and that one word is found in both of those sections. And in verse 18, you have not come, in English. And in verse 22, you have come. And there's a strong contrast, and that contrast we need to understand. Now, we already read Deuteronomy chapter 5, and the methodology we're going to use this morning is something different. I don't think I've ever done this in 40 years. I don't think I've ever done it this way before. But we're going to try it. We're going to look at the Old Testament background for the first section. So turn with me then to Exodus chapter 19.
We're actually looking in Exodus at two sections, before and after the giving of the Ten Commandments. We've already read one portion in Deuteronomy. We have another to look at. That one we're going to look at there is also before the Ten Commandments are given. So look at Exodus chapter 19, verses 12 through 13. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. And then in chapter 20, picking up with verse 18, we read, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so you may not sin.